For those of you who don't know me, I think I know most of you, right? But my name is Joshua Hummel. I'm the son of Pastor Dan, and I have two kids, and I never miss an opportunity to show pictures of my kids. They are here, but we got to duck out really quick right afterward. I got another thing I got to get to. We have Silas is the oldest. He's on the left. We see a picture of him with Papa, too, and him in a pillow fort with a lightsaber. That is one of his favorite toys, which is appropriate because his initials are Sith, so, you know, it's very appropriate. And we see Joseph with a ball in both pictures. He's now getting obsessed with them because Silas is obsessed with them. But I say this also as an intro of, I have young kids, I'm a parent of young kids, and I'm going to be talking about raising up the next generation. So I want to point out that if you have older kids, and I'm talking about relating with older kids, this is not from my experience as a parent because I don't have older kids. That part of talking is my experience in children's ministry, of which I have extensive. I did children's ministry here. I did it at a church in downtown Milwaukee, and I currently do it at my church. I'm one of the main volunteers, and was temporarily the children's coordinator at that campus while they found someone else. So I'm speaking from experience that I have as a children's ministry leader and also as a father of younger kids and being a kid myself. I'm 31, so it was a little bit ago, but not that long ago, that I was a child.
Last year.
Yeah, pretty much, right? When I was thinking of the title for it, I was raising up the next generation, and those of you who don't know me, I'm an engineer. I'm a huge nerd, everything from math and science to Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel. So I'm like the next generation. So we're talking about Star Trek, right? That's what the talk's going to be, Star Trek, the next generation. So that's what we're going to be talking about today because I'm a huge nerd. Actually, it's not, but I found that picture was funny, and I was typing up, I'm like, the next generation. What? Oh, it's my favorite TV show. We could talk about that for hours if we want to, but we're actually going to be talking about the next generation being children. Here's an outline. It's also in your bulletin. I'm going to establish the importance of children. I don't think I need to spend too long on that because we should, I think, all know the importance of children to a certain extent, but I'm going to lay it out. And then I think, what are we called to do as Christians with the children in our lives? And not just, this isn't just talking to parents, right? This is talking to people in the congregation that you're going to interact with kids. There are kids here at the church. You're going to interact with them. And how do we interact with them, and how do we make it so that we're raising up the next generation well and raising a godly generation and not just letting it fall by the wayside? On the secular side, in the world recognizes the importance of children. I have several quotes up here. First two are from presidents of the United States. Herbert Hoover, 31st president, who said, "Children are our most valuable resource." And John F. Kennedy, the 35th president, said, "Children are the living messages we send to a time we will not see." There are also many organizations. I'm sure you can picture them. There are sports organizations. There are social organizations. There are academic organizations that are focused on children. Now, a lot of those are very good, and they do a lot of really good things. And the last quote up here, I think, is most appropriate. You can learn many things from children. How much patience you have, for instance. And that one, again, being the father of a 1.5-year-old, is already starting. Kudos to the parents who have older kids out there. But children are important. They're not just important to us as a church. They're also important to society. The world recognizes that children are important. Think about what just happened in Minneapolis, where a child was killed and children were shot. That's a rallying cry. Regardless of what political party you're part of, we're all struck by that. And we all think that's horrible. As a culture, as a world, we all value children. But then also, on the biblical side, we also value children. Because I think our value of children, even in the world, comes directly from God. One of the classic examples of God loving children, can anyone think of it? Jesus did it. He's talking about it. It's in Mark. It's blessing the little children, right? It's in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. People were bringing the little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. I'm sure most of us are familiar with this passage. This is one of the most famous ones, talking about Jesus loving children. Here we see the Son of God who came to earth loves children. He had them to him, and even when the disciples tried to send them, he said, "No, let them come to me. Children are very important." But even in the Old Testament, if we look here in Psalms, it says in 127, 3 through 5, "Behold, children are a gift from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like the arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. So right here, again in the Old Testament too, children are a gift from the Lord. Now I don't think this is just pertaining to your own children. I think this is all children. It doesn't specify that parents, children of the fruit, are the gift of the Lord. It does say that children are a gift from the Lord. The children that are around you are a gift from the Lord that you can speak into their lives. And the second one I have up here, Proverbs 17:6, is mostly for my parents. Grandchildren are a crown of the old because they're nice and old. And the glory of their sons is their fathers. Also, I know my parents are very proud of their grandkids. But it also is raising them. How do we raise them up in that way? So we see here that even in the Bible emphasizes the importance of children. And there's other examples, too, that I could have brought up. These are the ones I picked. You can even see that God values children even when the Israelites were conquering nations. Some of the ones he told them to target were ones that sacrificed children. Those are ones that he emphasized. He hates that. He hates when children are harmed, and he loves when children are glorified or raised up in a good way. Not only does the world love children, but God loves children. What are we to do about this? If children are very important, again, from the secular side, they're one of our most valuable resources. From the godly side, they are a gift from God. They are to be protected. They are to be taught. What are we to do? So again, I'll go back to Star Trek, because I love Star Trek. This right here, if you don't know the show, the person, the young man on the left, is Wesley Crusher. He's the kind of annoying adolescent person, right? But he wants to get involved in the starship. And Commander William Riker on the right takes him as a mentor under his wing and teaches him. He takes responsibility for his learning, for his socializing and all this stuff to mentor him in how to be a good officer on the starship. And I think this is a really good example of mentorship. And that is something that I think is very important. Now, in the church realm, we call that discipleship. But I think it's the same thing under a different name. Mentorship and discipleship are the same thing. Discipleship falls under the church, and mentorship is what the outside world calls it. And if you look at the outside world, they have how many different organizations that focus on mentorship in particular? Boys and Girls Club, Big Brothers and Big Sisters. There was one I found called Mentor. I was looking at a bunch of them. It's just Google had a list of mentoring organizations for children. So even the world recognizes that this is something that is important. We talk in the Bible about discipleship of others, right? It's the Great Commission to go and make disciples. And there's other sermons that can talk about making disciples of adults and then also discipling them after that. Making disciples is not about just making converts, it's also about building them up and discipling them through it. But we don't often talk and think about discipling for children. We don't call it that. But I think it is very important that we discipleship for children. And one of the best ways to do this, I put these two together because I thought it worked well. 1 Corinthians 11:1, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. And this quote by Anonymous, but I thought it was perfect. Children are great imitators, so give them something to imitate. And having a toddler, I know they are great imitators. I found another quote that I didn't put up here, but it's, children will repeat everything you say, and usually what you don't want them to. So they are great imitators. And right here in 1 Corinthians, it does tell us, be imitators of me, it's Paul. Imitators of me as I am of Christ. So as we are to imitate Christ, our children will imitate us. And again, that doesn't just matter if you're a parent. This matters if you're around children. If you're being an imitator of Christ in the church, children can see that and they'll imitate you. If we as a body can be imitators of Christ, the children will see that and they'll follow in that way. Because they are fantastic imitators. My 1.5-year learned how to say no recently. Now he says it for everything. Do you want food? No, but he does want food. So it's, you know, you never know what he's actually saying. But he's imitating what he's seen us tell him. He's also learned how to close doors and all that stuff because he's imitating what we do. So we need to be imitators of Christ. To me, this all boils down to the little things. Think back to when you were a child, or even today. Think about someone you trust, someone you respect. Can you put a finger on a big moment of something really big that they did for you that made you trust and made you respect them? Most of the time, not. Can you think of a lot of little tiny things that they did consistently? A lot of little tiny things that they smiled at you, that they helped you out with something, they were there to listen to you when you talked, that they were there to talk to you when you needed to be talked to. Think about those little tiny things that do it. For me, my parents are a prime example of that. I trust my parents more than anyone else in the world, other than maybe my wife. But I trust my parents as mentors, leaders in my life. It was because they built it up over time. They didn't have one big event that codified in my mind, okay, these are people I can trust. It's they were always there for me. They always were happy to see me. They had these little tiny, lots of little tiny moments that built up to me trusting them and recognizing them. Now, this happens as adults too, but I think it's even more important in children. Because children are very reactive to people. They're learning. They're learning to be imitators. They're learning to experience the world around them in ways that we already take for granted. So they're going to look at you and what you do and the little things you do, and they're going to pick up on them. So this is how we can influence the next generation. I love the Spurgeon quote. You may speak but one word to a child, and in that child there may be slumbering the noble heart, which shall stir the Christian church for years to come, by Charles Spurgeon. Right there, one word. That can stir a child's heart. Even if that word is hi. That could be it. If a child comes into church and you smile at them, you say hi, maybe you learn their name. If you can learn the name of a child, do you like being recognized by your own name? You like when people know your name. How much more does a child when they know that you know their name? If they walk into church, everyone knows their name, how welcoming do you think that feels? That is a very welcoming place to be. Similarly, kids will tell you what they like. Now, the younger the child, generally the more emphatically they'll tell you what they like. But talk to them a little bit. It doesn't have to be, you know, again, even if you're not a parent, you don't have to have a long-winded conversation with a toddler. It's really hard to do anyways, because they're usually moving. But have a conversation with a young child, or even an older child. They are learning. They have experiences that they're going through. They have things that they need help with. They have things that they can tell you as well. A lot of times the questions that they have are fascinating to me as an adult who thinks I know a lot of stuff, and I'm learning things from kids all the time. I work in kids ministry. I work in elementary mostly. Those elementary kids, I'm giving them a Bible story, and they ask a question. I go, that's a really good question. I had never thought about it in that way because I've heard the story how many hundreds of times, and I just assumed that this was the outcome. But now I've got a question, and now I have to figure out how to answer it. So oftentimes, I'll go back to the Bible text, right? That's what you do. You go back to the Bible, and you explain it to them. But that can't happen unless they trust you. This is something, again, I've been in kids ministry for a long time, like I said. One of the major things I try to do is learn their names. Like I said, I've emphasized it before. But learn their names and be happy to see them. When they come into elementary, I'm usually there at check-in, right? And I say, hi, Jace, how's it going? How was your week? He's about 12. I say, how's it going? What are you looking forward to today? Just those couple of questions right there, he'll usually open up to me because I've asked him every time. And I smile at him and I exude that I am genuinely happy to see him. I am. But I show that to him and he responds. Similarly, we can do this with all ages. This doesn't just have to be toddlers. It doesn't have to be four-year-olds. This works on teenagers. If you're genuinely happy to see them over and over and over and over, I was a preteen when I went through my rebellious phase, as my parents can attest to, more than a teen. At least that's what I remember. I don't know if you want to say anything different, but age seven, all right, even pre-preteen. But even in that, right, there were certain people, my parents and people at church, that I was still respected, I was still comfortable around, because even though I was in a rebellious phase, they were always happy to see me. So even though I was in this little, like, I know everything, right? I don't need anyone. I don't want to do anything. There were still people that I was more comfortable with because they were happy to see me as a child. And I think that is important. I think that's something we've lost a little bit. We, as adults, we tend to talk over children. They're running around, which is great. They like to run around, right? But we talk over them. And we need adult conversations too. But sometimes I think we ignore them too much. We need to talk to them a little bit. They have ideas. They have fun ideas. again, in elementary, we were doing an obstacle course, and we were doing it blindfolded, and they said, hey, why don't we change it mid-course so that we can't see it ahead of time? I went, sounds like fun, and they ended up running into a bunch of stuff, but it was a lot of fun. That was the point. The point was a trust exercise. But they have good ideas. So if you talk to them, you can get good ideas as well. But then again, it's listening to them to be heard. How many of us like to be heard when we have ideas? Even as adults. In the workplace, in the church, we'd like to be heard. If you brought up an idea to someone, they go, no, never mind. That wouldn't be good. No. That doesn't make you feel heard. Doesn't make you feel like they heard their idea. Similarly with children, again, of all ages. If they bring something up and you dismiss it right away, no, that doesn't make them feel heard. You can make them feel heard. So there's lots of ways that we as a community can raise up the next generation of children to be God-fearing people, or give them the best chance. It's their choice, obviously. Salvation isn't a choice of yourself. But we can give them the best chance by being that welcoming community to children. We can be the little things to everyone, and especially children. And I think it gets overlooked a lot. I think this church has good programs. I know the church I attend has good programs. And I volunteer a lot in those programs. But it's not all about that. It's not about dropping the kids off at, okay, great, they're getting taught, they're good. Even throughout the week, too. If there is a family that you can get in contact with and maybe help disciple one of the kids a little bit, that's a good thing. They aren't just here on Sundays. These kids exist outside of Sundays, too. And maybe you think, oh, I'm not cut out for that. You don't have to do a lot. Again, it's knowing them and knowing who they are and who they could be. Going back to the Spurgeon quote, you never know who could be the next great noble heart that shall stir the Christian church for years to come. Who could be the next Billy Graham? Who could be the next Spurgeon? Who could be the next C.S. Lewis? You never know who is going to be who. So you encourage that in children by the little things. And then think about it too. What do you want? What did you want as a kid, but what do you want as an adult in your conversations with other adults? Kids want that too. Think about that a little bit as we go into the world here and then go and see kids. I mean, this, again, doesn't apply in the church. It applies in the grocery store. I see a kid in the grocery store. I smile at him. I wave at him, depending on how young they are, right? I don't want to be too creepy. It's especially good if I had my own kids, because then it looks less creepy of the big guy waving at a kid. But I still did it when I was single, too. I wave at them. I smile at them. And they usually smile back and wave. And sometimes I'll have a conversation with a four-year-old in the grocery store because they wanted to tell me about this new toy they got that they brought with them to the grocery store. That could have made their day. You never know what the child is going through. You can be those little things to them all the time. And then as they grow up, if they find a believer who also does that to them, they could remember. There was this person in the grocery store that I met when I was super young. This person reminds me of them. You never know how you're going to affect them long term. It all goes back to be Christ to everyone. But I think with children, it's a little bit more, you have to be a little more obvious. You have to be a little bit more intentional. But it's very rewarding in its own right. Again, even if they're not your kids, I've worked in kids ministry forever. As far as I can remember, I've been working in children's ministry. It is very rewarding to watch their faces when they see you light up. Not just I'm happy to see them, they're happy to see me. And that is amazing, because I know I'm having an effect on that child that could last into eternity. That's what I want to close us with. Of think about the small impacts you can have on the children in your life. And again, all ages, this all the way up to through 18, age 18. And even after that, to a certain extent. But the formative years are up through age 13. There was actually, I'll tell one more thing, there was a study that I read that said by the age of 13 is generally when the child's cultural mindset is set, and it's very hard to change it after that. So under 13 is the primary window you have to try and, the book said, we have to get them while we got them. That was what the tagline it said, and that's when you have to get them. 13 and under, that's when you've got them, that's when they're open, and that's when you can influence them the most. Find someone in your life that you can mentor maybe a little bit, or just do the little things. Be genuinely happy to see a child. If you see them regularly, ask them their name. Remember their name. Sometimes that's hard. It's hard for me. I have a lot of kids' names in my head because I work in children's ministry. I make an effort to figure out their name. They have name tags, so that helps. But from the stage, it's hard to read them. I'm like, Samuel? Solomon, okay. It's not Solomon, but Sam. Anyways, that's the major part of what we can do to help the next generation of children. And so it's not Star Trek, but it is important that we need to raise up the next generation, because that is who's going to be in these seats 15, 20 years from now, is going to be the next generation. If we raise them right, these seats will be filled. As someone said, there's a revival going on a little bit. We've got to keep that going. We've got to keep influencing the younger generation. I'm going to close this in prayer, and then we'll move on to a hymn, and then we'll close. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that I could get to speak. I pray that I didn't fumble through this too much and that I was able to get information across. I pray that we would take this and be able to influence the next generation, Lord, for you, that you would raise up godly young men and young women, that we can help them glorify you in what they do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.